Welcome to this online interview by Project Cargo Weekly. Our very special guest of honor today is Mr. Colin Usher. He's the chairman and founder of Zenith International Freight Group, based in the UK. First and foremost, Colin, very welcome to this interview.
Thank you very much indeed, Bo. I'm looking forward to it, and thank you for inviting me to take part.
Most welcome. It's also good to have you here. I always let my accused or my interviewees elaborate a little bit on how did they end up in this in the hot seat they're sitting in? How come you are in logistics and not in construction or in parliament? Or how come you're in logistics, Colin?
Well, life is like sliding doors, isn't it? And I ask myself that. I've been in logistics now for too long, 48 years, I think it is. And I always ask myself that question: How did I get involved in this business? And it's quite simple, really. So when I was around 18, I was loafing around at home, thinking about my motorbike and other things. And my dad had other ideas, and he said, "Perhaps you should get a job." So I said, "Okay, well, maybe I should." So he actually introduced me to a guy called Harry Pointer, who ran a company called Transflash McGregor, who were a European freight forwarder at that time. And I basically walked through the door at the age of 18, and a light bulb went on in my head, and I thought, "Wow, this is pretty interesting."
Yeah.
So I stuck around. Started off like most people in business, in the logistics business, when they start at the bottom doing customs entries, not really understanding the process. Spent 5 or 6 years at this particular business, doing various tasks, mostly European freight, but they had a department that they called the deep sea department, which I was always very curious about. And everything that the European guys didn't do landed within that department. And I found myself getting more and more immersed in that, which going back into the 80s, we had some regular shipments on the Baco liner service, which was a barge service and liner vessels into Africa.
Yes.
Moving steel bars, etc. And it progressed for me to make site visits and get involved in early projects, I would guess, within that business. And that always kind of, although I did everything else, European freight, deep sea, air freight, sales, this side of the business really, really quite interested me. So that's, in short, that's kind of how I got involved. And then it developed from there, really.
Okay, it's quite an impressive career, Colin. I mean, you've seen some dirt there over the years. I mean, and Baco liner, I recall that many years ago. Yeah. We're really talking, let's say, the old days now, because with due respect, I mean, it's nobody would remember them nowadays, I think.
Absolutely.
So yeah. very interesting. And what made you establish Zenith? I mean, you were an employee until then, or were you a partner already from the beginning?
So I worked with this European business till the 80s, and then I joined a business, a small freight forwarder locally in Bradford, who I did everything. I was a director there. I did the sales, I did the accounts, the whole bit. We had about 15 people, and within that business, we had a division which was machinery removal and shipment overseas. Bradford is a big textile area, and in those days we were removing a lot of the textile machines, unfortunately for the UK, and shipping them out to India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, Far East, etc. So that was a very lucrative business. It was very informative. It was very instructive for me, moving some big heavy machines around, and again found it very, very interesting. In the year 2000, I took a view that working for myself would probably be the best way to go. So I formed Zenith.
Fantastic.
Just with four of us joined. We were three partners.
All right.
And we developed our business between 2000 and 2019, up to date, to around a 90 million revenue business from a standing start, which we're very, very proud of. And that included introducing groupage services, air freight, sea freight, European service, where we operate our own services to and from States, from China, etc. But within that, again, right from day one, anything that didn't quite fit within the normal course of business, landed on my desk, and that's where
Yeah.
I, so from my two partners who I started the business with, they retired in 2015. So
Right.
I took it over 100% in 15, and from then I started to develop a active project department.
Okay. I
Rots,
think,
sorry, Rob, go
yeah,
ahead.
I think that's a very smart move because, I mean, Project Cargo, what is, does not always fit means hopefully or generally there should be a better profit in it. And secondly, you can also get other customers if you can take care of the difficult shipments, so to speak, right?
Yeah, I think it came around where our normal regular customers
Yeah.
would have something out of the ordinary, whether it be a case packing project, whether it be some machines that need to be removed and shipped overseas, where they were starting to manufacture, whether it be flat racks, whether it be part charters of aircraft, etc. Just one-off jobs from existing clients.
Okay.
And that's fine. That's very lucrative business, and we had the know-how within the business to handle those. But then from about 2015, we realized that we had to be proactive. We
Yeah.
had to then develop that department rather than being reactive to a proactive part of our business, that we would go out and market and look for new clients. And in
Yeah.
order to do so, we have to set up a project department from scratch, if you like, with full compliance, skill sets around every part of that department
Yeah.
that take part in the projects that we wanted to take on board.
It seems also like a smart move because, as we can see, some of the shipping lines they now want to be the jack of all trades and get rid of the forwarder, right? So if I mean if you had stuck to only LCL or only in brackets LCL air freight and normal containers, the shipping lines have a easier way of grabbing it from you. I noticed that Maersk, for example, now are freight forwarders, and or at least they claim to be. But how do you see the competition in your field? Do you feel that the shipping lines are breathing down your neck, or you don't see them as a threat?
Well, I've heard this for many, many years now, that steamship line, particularly Maersk, you mentioned there,
Yeah.
want to squeeze the forwarder out and deal directly with clients, and they have these online tools now that
Okay.
allow them to do that. However, I think we are able to compete on every level
Yeah.
with steamship lines, in the fact that, one, we deal with a multitude of carriers and a multitude of modes. So our portfolio of carriers might be 15, 20 steamship lines that we may use, all offering different facilities, all offering different routes. So we have a wider net than that particular specific shipping line, even though they call themselves global, presenting themselves to clients. I believe that our skill, our expertise across the whole project of
Yeah.
It's going to involve UK, it's going to involve haulage, it's going to involve stevedores, it's going to involve maybe charter, part charter, etc.
And in fact, you will pick up the phone if somebody calls you. It's not a call center in India, right?
Absolutely, absolutely, yeah. The lines are very, they made it very easy in terms of their online accessibility.
Yeah.
But yeah, when you need something outside the box, which of course projects is all the time,
Exactly,
you
exactly.
have to talk to somebody, and that's very difficult within steamship lines. I
Yeah.
mean, that's the whole essence of our business. We
Okay.
built it on that concept, that we are a business where people pick up the phone. We have a team, particularly with our project department, who everybody gets involved from the sale all the way through, but we will have one manager who's looking at that whole thing, bringing it together within the business, and we're using all parts of our business to handle any one project. A
Right.
project may involve some heavy machinery, a charter of a vessel, an air freight charter, whatever it might be. But at either end of that, we need some regular haulage, we need some customs clearance,
Yeah.
etc., and we have that within our group.
Okay. Yeah, it's you have the full package, so to speak, and you're
Yes.
not if something goes down in let's say business-wise, then something else is going up, so you are not too depending on one leg.
Absolutely. We're completely multifaceted and multimodal.
Yeah.
We can handle a small courier shipment through to, a 300-ton machine coming out the middle of China, which I don't think many steamship lines could claim.
Definitely not. How do you go about, Colin, to market yourself besides the word of mouth and people that know you and respect your company who tell to other people? How do you go about making sure that the world knows that you exist?
That's an interesting an interesting question. On many levels, we do that. We do that now. We do it through social media, through LinkedIn. We post our details of projects that we've handled, which obviously gives us credibility and credence of what we've done. People see that. They're aware of that. We actively have a sales department now. We brought in a couple of guys who are active on sales on projects only, who have worked in the business for many years. They have contacts within corporate businesses. They'll go and sell our services, explain what we can do, and then we receive RFQs like everybody else. We put our case within that RFQ and we win quite a bit of that business. We also market ourselves through networks. Which we've done on projects probably for the last 5 or 6 years. Networks, I always considered something that we would use rather than they would use us. So what we tend to do is where we're not represented in a particular area, we'll use that global network to appoint a haulier or a forwarder to handle destination or origin things that we need. But we always, when it's a project that's been run by Zenith, we will always visit that area. We'll send our guys out there to have a look at it, work with that particular network partner. And on the other side of that, of course, we get business from those network partners as well, whether that be a whole project or just part of a project.
Got it. And just a couple of questions here based on the UK. There are many ports in the UK. Are
Yes.
there any, of course, we cannot go through all the ports, then we will sit here until tomorrow, but are there a few ports you could highlight as being better for handling project cargo or that you have good experience with based on your location?
Our location is really irrelevant, Bo, because we handle projects from
Anywhere.
to and from the UK and as many as cross trades that will originate in the UK or otherwise. So it's a difficult question. I mean, within the UK, we actually use London Gateway Port quite a lot. We use Teesport. It purely depends on where the cargo is originating or arriving to. And I wouldn't like to promote or relegate any particular port based on performance. I think we use multiple ports around the world.
Depending on what suits best. Now it's interesting to see now with the new big alliances with the container carriers to see what ports they use and hub and spoke or direct services. So let's
Yeah, I mean
see.
that's a very interesting point. We have a particular project at the moment. We're moving to Dalian, which is a case which exceeds, I think, 120 tons. And Dalian is not a port that's very well equipped for handling heavy equipment. So we're actually using a liner vessel into Tianjin, Xingang, and then we're trucking that case from Tianjin Xingang direct to the importer in Dalian. So that's kind of it's a good example of the creativity that we have, and we can use particular ports, rather than charter a vessel that's going to cost a lot of money and take that thing directly into Dalian where they have where it have to be delivered and customs cleared from there. We can actually use a liner vessel into another port and truck it.
No, that's actually a very smart move, and of course the direct line is not always the best line, as long as you have a good control in Singang,
Absolutely, which we
of
do,
course.
which we do through the networks again.
Yes, excellent. So remind me again, your headcount right now, Colin, how many people you said you have?
Well, we have three offices in the UK. We have our head
Okay.
office here in Bradford, where we have 40, I think we're 40 to 45 staff.
Yeah.
We're just building up actually through our customs clearance department, because we've taken on a large global account within customs clearance. So
Okay.
we have 40 to 45 in Bradford. We have an office in London, mainly dealing with the air freight, where we
Yeah.
have 20 people, and then we have an office in northeast London, where we have another 20 people doing general forwarding and handling a niche product of export of recycled metals.
Okay.
So we're very about 80 to 85 people at the moment.
So definitely strong management and strong leaders at certain positions. I mean, 90. I mean, the amount of people you have, you also need to generate a certain income, right? So.
Absolutely, we do. But it works very well because, as I said, we're multimodal. We have various products within the business.
Yeah.
Our sea freight groupage is a very good product for us. We do a lot
Okay.
of consolidation to the USA, etc. And
Wow.
we bring people in as specialists around that. We actually added the business in Heathrow 5 years ago, and we've since brought in a manager who used to work for Qatar Airways, actually,
Oh, yeah.
who has really developed that business, and it's on an upward trajectory. And talking about specifically about projects, we've been able to use his skill set to charter a couple of 747s a couple of years
Wow.
ago that we did into the States. And just by adding that experience with those people, we can take on those jobs.
Yeah, so you definitely have enough references to keep it going and to impress whoever are new customers to try out your services for sure.
Absolutely.
But my question, Colin, how do you foresee 2025? I mean, we have the Red Sea crisis, we have Trump coming back, we have Putin staying where he is. How do you view business from a UK standpoint?
Yeah, I need a crystal ball
Yeah, I know, but.
these days. I think we rather than do that, we just continue to focus
Yeah.
on our clients and what they're after, what they need.
Yeah.
We market ourselves, as I've said, through the networks, etc. And we just deal with things as they arise. We
Yeah.
had a lot of business actually into the Ukraine
Oh, yeah.
before the Russian invasion some time
Okay. Interesting.
ago. And that business has gone because obviously they're focused elsewhere and they're not
Of
important.
course.
But we now have started to move a lot of business that we've moved into the Ukraine, into Poland, and the Ukraine importers are picking them up themselves because life goes on.
Yes, of course. No. It's
We don't have access to the east of Ukraine, unfortunately. So
very.
we bring the cargo to Poland, and they collect it from there.
Yeah.
So we just yeah we'll go with the we'll go with the we'll go with the flow. We'll see how things
Yeah.
develop, and I'm sure with Mr. Trump coming into power in the new year, that'll be more interesting again. See what happens.
Yeah, definitely. No, I do see you have all the solutions in hand, and you are pragmatic. You can think out of the box, like you mentioned, going to Dalian via Tianjin instead of direct. I mean, not everyone would have thought of that. So it's very very interesting. I must say, it's been very nice and interesting talking to you, Colin, because I think you belong to, shall we say, mid-sized, a little bit larger. Versatile freight forwarders that we all need, and listening to you, I'm feel very confident that the shipping lines will not be able to eradicate us. So,
Absolutely not, bro. No, but we're around for a few years yet, I'm sure.
definitely. I wish to say, excuse me. I wish to say thank you very much, Colin, for this nice interview.
Thank you very much indeed, Bo. It's been really nice to take part. Thanks again.
Thank you. And to all our listeners, viewers, and readers from around the world, this was yet another great interview by Project Cargo Weekly. Our very special guest of honor today has been Mr. Colin Usher. He's the chairman and founder of Zenith Group, based in the UK, a very strong and versatile and flexible project and general freight forwarder to whom you can certainly get in touch when you need any problems sorted. For me in Project Cargo Weekly, I'll leave you in peace. And until the next time, I bid you goodbye. Thank you.